Welcome back to Putting You On. I'm the female Don Dada, and today's episode is about staying out of that man's phone. Today, we dive into a psychology of the snooping, trust, privacy, and why you should protect your digital boundaries. What's the meanest thing you've ever done to a man is the question that went viral on TikTok recently. But the story behind it became a modern-day cyber psychology case study. A woman went through her boyfriend's backup phone, found proof he's been cheating, and plotted revenge that left him stranded at an airport, boom, jobless, boom, and confused. And the internet, half of you guys said she's iconic. The other said that's criminal. But here's the real question I want to unpack today. What actually happens when you go through someone's phone? Psychologically, ethically, and most importantly, legally. Because in 2025, your phone isn't just a gadget. It's your digital mind, your memories, your messages, your identity. And when someone goes through it without permission, that's not just snooping, that's psychological invasion and sometimes a legal violation that we are gonna show you how to understand today. I'm gonna show you guys how to sue them. sue them. Hello. So today's episode is about boundaries, trust, revenge, and the law, and all through the lens of cyber psychology. So let's get into it. The story of digital revenge. The story that sparked the internet by a creator named Shonda Rhimes' Stan account. If you know their creator, show her some love. She has an awesome stories about teaching people how to just navigate their relationships, as well as she's also very hilarious. You know, I think she's quite funny. I'm going to play the TikTok that went viral on her story time, and we're just going to get into it. I did chop it up, so if you do want to see the full video, you can just go to her page, Shonda Rhimes' Stan account, and you can go see it for yourself. So let's get into it.
One time I was dating this guy and he had moved across country to Seattle for work. And he had left his apartment and asked me to watch over it. So I went over to his apartment one day and found his second like backup phone. And I happened to know the password, had the same password for his regular phone and his backup phone. So, and it was his birthday. So I'm looking through it and it was connected to his iCloud, obviously. So it's getting all of the messages and the phone calls and it's updating the pictures from his original phone, his personal phone that he has with him in Seattle. So I'm looking at everything he's texted, everyone he's, you know, FaceTimed, everyone. I'm looking at pictures he's taken, everything. And I'm seeing that he's been telling me, oh, I'm out with my friends, we're getting food, or my coworkers. Really, he's out taking a girl out to Ruth Chris. And he was also at the pool, having them get, you know, undressed and recording it. He was also like, I don't know if the girls knew they were being recorded either. And then he was also like having like not two, but three sums with other girls. And yeah. So basically I looked at it, I saw what I needed to see, and I was like, okay, that's great. And I sat there and I waited and I plotted my revenge. So eventually he had called me one day and he was like, and I didn't know what I was going to do. I just knew I was going to do something when the time came. So he called me one day and he was like, I just got laid off. Apparently like it didn't work out. All of the workers that flew there or started their job at the same time he started, got terminated. Mind you, laid off. Mind you, he had relocated to Seattle for this job. So he was staying in corporate housing until he could find his home, his own accommodations. And they're like, yeah, they terminated me. They said that I can't stay here anymore. I don't have any money. I don't have anything. You know, he was only up there for a few months. So I'm like, great. I'm going to get you a ticket back to South Carolina. And then you can just move in with me temporarily. So I called him and I convinced him. I was like, hey, the tickets are really expensive. It's probably better if you fly into Atlanta and I'll come pick you up from Atlanta, because Atlanta was like a 2-hour drive from where I stayed at in South Carolina, 2.5 hours or something. That wasn't really the truth. Like, I don't know if it would have been cheaper or not, because I never even looked at how much it would have cost. I plotted my revenge from the moment he told me he got terminated his job. He was laid off. So he was like, bet. So once he got to Atlanta, I wasn't there. What makes you think that after cheating on me that I would buy you a plane ticket to come live with me after you cheated on me? So once he landed, I'm getting phone calls of like, I'm here. Where are you? Are you coming to pick me up? I'm not answering these calls. Like, his mama called me. I don't even know what she was about to say because she didn't leave a voicemail and I didn't answer the phone. So it me out really bad. So I just blocked him and all his little friends because I still get random text messages from fake numbers telling me to go to hell. And I know that it's you, boo.
Chat, how do we feel? Right? Like, how do we feel about that? You see how within minutes she's able to go inside his world and it's just ugly. Cheating, secret recordings, lies, and suddenly she has digital proof that that man is cheating. But here's the part in cyber psychology. We pay attention to the moment of discovery that gave her that dopamine rush. And literally, it's a chemical hit of power after weeks of just doubt of the relationship. When trust collapses, the brain loses control. And in a digital age that we are in, control looks like access, right? You're able to go through the person's phone. You're able to go through the Instagram followers. You're able to see what that man is doing every inch of the hour, especially if he's an online type of man. She tells herself, I deserve to know. But what she really wants is a relief. She wants that freedom of just having to know where her man is. And technology gave her a shortcut to that, even if it hurts. So the cyber psychology of snooping. So what's really happening in our brains when we go through someone's phone? Research says, and they describe it as digital trust paradox. The digital trust paradox is when people share more of their lives online and have more digital access to others. They expect greater trust, but instead that openness often causes more doubt, fear, or mistrust. We're all humans. We crave closeness, but the more intimate we become, the more tempted we are to verify the intimacy through surveillance. So for example, you like this boy, y'all dating, you watching everything he does, post online, you crave to know his type. You go through his followers. You see the last time he was active, etc. Your obsession is fueled by three things, right? Three things. Anxiety. When we feel disconnected, our brain interprets it as danger. Two, curiosity. The digital world that we in rewards snooping. Algorithms feed us content for peeking into other people's lives, right? So you already in your head, my man is cheating, my man is cheating. Next thing you know, you scrolling down your timeline and you see a Justin LA quote, Justin LA boy quote. And he's saying something about go through his phone or something negative that ups you up. You know what I'm saying? That is where the curiosity plays. And then you have access. God forbid, they probably already have shared locations. They probably already have the cloud syncing. You know, we just don't know. Shared passwords, we don't know, but they have something shared and it's access and it's digital. And that blurs the lines between trust and trespass, right? When you pick up that phone, you're not just crossing a moral boundary. You're triggering an emotional feedback loop, which is anxiety, relief, rage, and regret. And the wild part about all of this is that research also shows that people who snoop often feel worse afterward. They lose trust, not only in their partner, but in themselves. And I can honestly sit here and say, I'm a victim. I didn't go through nobody's phone, though. Like, I didn't go through nobody's phone. But I definitely went through somebody's followers to see, like, am I really your type? Like, I was just so unsure, especially because at the time I was dating a boy that was always online. So I wanted to know, like, what you doing online? And why you not answering my text, but you can post on your story? But, you know, let's flip the perspectives. What happens to the person whose phone is invaded? I'm going to tell you, from person to person without the cyber psychology hat off, I'm going to tell you what happens to that person. Depending on your person, they might lose their mind. You know what I'm saying? You just went through their phone. You just saw all their business. Like, you're looking for stuff. You're trying to find something. That person feels disgusted. They feel hurt. They're angry. They're upset. They busting through windows. They might tear up your house. They might bust your... You don't know. You don't know that person until you triggered that person. But the thing is here, digital violation trauma, cyber trauma, is the emotional psychological distress caused by various forms of online and technology facilitated abuse. It's similar to being robbed. Give me your money. But instead of your wallet, it's your thoughts, your private conversations, and your inner life. You feel exposed, unsafe, and paranoid. It's not just they saw my text. It's someone who weaponized my digital identity. And once someone breaks that digital boundary, trust can't be talked through. It requires a full psychological reset. So sit in the mirror and ask yourself, why did you go through that person's phone? Are you traumatized? That's the gag. Are you traumatized? Are you the one that needs to go to therapy? It's okay if you do. But you had to go through that and you don't play. You had to go through the person's phone and you don't pay the bill. You don't pay nobody's bills. You don't pay that person's phone. No, you don't do anything for that person digitally. You know what I'm saying? And you still shouldn't go through it if you did pay the bill, right? That's why experts equate digital privacy to bodily harm. Your phone is an extension of your nervous system. Your data is a part of your selfhood. So yes, if someone goes through your phone, that's not petty. That's personal trespassing. Say with me, personal trespassing. It's not petty that you went through the phone. You just trespassed on my mind, my body, and my soul. Now it's time to sue them. It's time to sue them. Here's where cyber psychology meets law. If someone goes through your phone, they might not just be crossing an emotional boundary. They could be breaking actual computer crime statutes. So, almost every U.S. state has laws against unauthorized access to digital devices. Even if they knew your password, if you didn't give consent, it can count as computer trespassing. Every U.S. state recognizes either a computer crime law, which is unauthorized access to a computer, which is computer trespassing, or a privacy law, which is invasion of privacy or intrusion upon seclusion. That means you can sue in every state, but the exact law differs. The best state for the digital privacy lawsuits are California, let's go to the beach, Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, Washington State, New York, and Florida. We also have a federal option, and the federal option is the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, CFAA. It's a federal offense to access a protected computer without authorization. This includes cloud storage, iCloud, Google Drive, etc. You can also bring a civil lawsuit under this federal law if the unauthorized access causes harm or loss. So let's say, for example, your man and you get into some type of, unfortunately, a DV situation and you're just over it. You can sue him, okay? He caused harm. You lost your car. You know, a lot of things. Anything that causes loss or harm, you can sue. It can get really sticky with it. And I do believe and I do feel as if it's something that you should take into account if you want to take it federal. And if you want to take it federal. Call the feds. He went through your stuff. She went through your stuff. Take her to the feds. Take them to the feds. But the thing is, though, why should you sue? Let's be honest. Let's just put it all on the floor. Suing your ex sounds very dramatic, right? But cyber psychology gives you a sense of understanding why you should take it seriously. It's about boundary reinforcement. When you file a civil suit or report unauthorized access, you're not just protecting your data, right? You're training your brain to recognize that your privacy deserves defense, okay? Remember that. Your privacy deserves defense. Psychologists call this assertive closure, when victims of digital violation reclaim power through non-revenge channels. It stops the emotional, endless mental replay of that they've been violated. You know, they violated me and got away with it. Cyber psychology helps you legally assert yourself and send a signal to your nervous system and say, you're not powerless. This is why I'm here. I want to help you guys. It also discourages repeat behaviors. When you enforce boundaries with people, learn that digital trespassing has real-world consequences. Because here's the truth. Privacy laws are the psychological armor of the digital age. And if you don't use them, you're teaching people your boundaries are optional. All right? It's like you don't care. You don't care about yourself if you let somebody sit up here and abuse you mentally because they decide to go through your phone. They decide to go through your phone. They decide to put they inflicted ill, nasty work onto your body and started drama and started unnecessary problems in the relationships. And it should have never been that, right? You have the right to sue. You have the right to stand up for your rights personally, mentally, physically, and most importantly, digitally. Okay? All right. The myth of I deserve to know, and I'm going to sit here and say you do not deserve to know. People often justify snooping by saying I deserve to know the truth. That's an illusion of certainty, meaning that our perception of having absolute knowledge or control is often screwed, okay? That doesn't make any sense. We think more data will bring peace, but it really doesn't. It really doesn't bring any peace. What you're actually doing is outsourcing your intuition to technology, trying to verify feelings with screenshots. Yet no amount of data will make betrayal hurt less. And even if you have nothing, you didn't find anything in that phone, you've already damaged trust by searching. And I think that's what we need to understand. You look stupid when you go through somebody's phone. You look dumb. You look like you need to go find a therapist. You look like you need to go take some pills. Okay? It's not okay. Because love built on surveillance isn't love. It's digital anxiety. And to all the people that had to really go through this, I'm so sorry. But healing that digital trust wound is important. So what do you do instead of snooping or suing if you just want peace? Pause before touching the phone when you feel the urge. Ask what emotion you're avoiding, right? Use direct communication, not digital investigation, right? Clarity, conversation, not evidence gathering. Reinforce your privacy standards. Don't share passwords unless absolute necessary. Document violations. If someone breaches your digital space, keep the evidence and then consult with a lawyer or a digital rights advocate. Not me though, but just use this as a reference. Reframe justice. Legal action isn't revenge. It's boundary recovery, okay? Let's say it again. I'm gonna say this again. Reframe justice. Legal action isn't revenge. It's boundary recovery. Because healing isn't about getting even. It's about reclaiming your sense of safety. It's about loving yourself. It's about being the person that you want to be and how you want to be treated. Because going through somebody's phone they don't love you. They go through your phone, they don't love you. You go through somebody's phone, you don't love them. You're violating them. Every time you go through someone's phone, you're rewriting the emotional contract of the relationship from trust to surveillance. And every time someone goes through your phone, they're rewriting your psychological sense of safety. In 2025, privacy isn't a luxury. It's mental hygiene. Your phone is your mind, right? You're always on your phone. Your phone knows everything about you. That's just how the algorithms are. That's just how they built the phone, it's meant to know what time you sleep, what time you wake up. If you have an Oura Ring like me, they know when I'm, you know, it knows when you're on your cycle. It knows when you're stressed. Your phone has everything. Your data is your diary. And no one, not a partner, not a friend, not a relative, has the right to read your mind without consent. So don't snoop. Don't tolerate snooping. And if someone crosses that line, don't just block them. Hold them accountable. Because cyber psychology and the law are all in one corner with you, girl. Girls and gals, they got you. Boundaries aren't walls. They're mirrors. They reflect how much you value yourself and how much you love yourself. I'm the female Don Dada, and this was Putting You On, decoding the digital side of human behavior. Protect your peace, protect your data, protect your dignity. Ciao.